Hi, I'm Ira Lipson. In 1977, I was the program director and chief zoologist at the zoo, KZEW-FM in Dallas, where Bob Shannon did the afternoon drive show. On August 16th, Bob had been doing the show for about a month and a half when all hell broke loose. Here, from his book, Turn It Up, American Radio Tales, 1946 to 1996, just released as an ebook, is Bob Shannon to tell the story of Elvis Presley, me, and Sam and Dewey.
KZEW-FM Dallas never played Elvis Presley songs. It didn't matter that he was the king of rock and roll, or that half the musicians we did play owned their very existence to him. Before Elvis said John Lennon, there was absolutely nothing. Elvis, however, had ceased being hip long before FM became hip, and frankly, we never gave him a thought. It was Tuesday afternoon, about 3:25, August 16th, 1977. We just wrapped up the news. It was light, fluffy, lifestyle stuff. And the radio station was blasting a six-minute song by Argent called God Gave Rock and Roll to You. The studio door was closed. The monitor was blaring. Then news ace Carol Hotlid ran into the room. "You're not going to believe this," she screamed. "Believe what?" I asked. In the background, I could hear the Associated Press teletype alarm bells going for broke. "Elvis is dead," she said. "Jesus," I said. For a moment, I froze. It's Only Rock and Roll by the Rolling Stones was queued up and ready to go, but for some reason, it didn't seem right to go there. "What do we do?" I said aloud. "Well, why don't you play one of his songs," said Hotlit. Smart lady. "I don't think we have any," I said. Panic set in. I started rifling through a stack of never-played oldie LPs in the corner, and to my surprise, I found 1959's 50,000 Elvis Fans Can't Be Wrong, but nothing on it seemed right for the moment, so I kept searching. With less than a minute to spare, I unearthed Heartbreak Hotel. I queued it up and turned on the mic. "This is very strange," I said, "and very unexpected." I stopped to clear my throat. I've got some awful news. We've just been told that Elvis Presley died in Memphis today. I started the record. Next, I went to the telephones. Hi, it's the zoo. At first, I thought no one was there. But just as I was about to punch another line, I heard a sound. It was soft. It was pain. And suddenly, I realized someone was crying. The heat was oppressive. Over 100 degrees. It was Memphis in July of 1954. So hot and so muggy that clammy clothes stuck to a body's skin like peanut butter to the top of your mouth. It was early in the week. Some accounts say Monday, July 5th. Some say Tuesday the 6th. And 19-year-old Elvis Presley was recording professionally for the first time. Yeah, that's the day. That's the day he cut That's All Right, Mama and Blue Moon of Kentucky. Within a few days, his whole world would turn upside down. WHBQ Memphis disc jockey Dewey Phillips was damn near certifiable. In his book Elvis, author Albert Goldman describes Phillips as a natural-born freak. "No tricks of topography," wrote Goldman, "no Tom Wolfe razzmatazz on the top buttons of the typewriter, will ever simulate the sound that this nut made over the late-night Deep South radio circa 1954. Goldman is quite a character himself, but he's close to the truth when he talks about Dewey. Dewey's show, Red Hot and Blue, was like Mecca to R&B lovers. In fact, he was so committed to his vision of what was worth playing and what wasn't that he refused, believe it or not, to play anything by white artists. Now, considering pop charts at the time, maybe that wasn't such a bad policy. But to his friend Sam Phillips, it was a bugaboo. Why? Well, because in the first week of July 1954, Sam wanted Dewey to hear something he just recorded by a white kid from Tupelo, Mississippi. He was asking Dewey to consider something that had never previously existed on this earth, wrote Peter Guralnick, author of Last Train to Memphis. There was an element of Dewey that was conservative, Sam Phillips told Guralnick later. When he picked a record, he didn't want to be wrong. It was Wednesday night, July 7th, 1954. That's the night that Sam played Elvis's songs for Dewey for the first time. Sipping on a beer, the Memphis DJ listened. He just sat there, never said a word. Sam was quiet, too. In later years, both talked about knowing that what Elvis had done wasn't white or pop or country or about wondering what the next step should be. But the next morning, when Dewey woke up, he knew. On July 8, 1954, somewhere between 9:30 and 10 p.m., Dewey Phillips told his WHBQ audience that he had a new record he wanted them to hear. "It's not even a record yet," he confided. "In fact, it's a dub of a new song that Sam's putting out next week, and I think it's going to be a hit." That night, for the first time in the world, for the first time anywhere, Dewey Phillips played Elvis Presley's first recordings like there was no tomorrow. To hear it told, the phones exploded. And before the show was over, Elvis himself, pulled out of a movie theater and brought to the radio station where he was nervous but polite and obviously way over his head, was on the air with Dewey, live on WHBQ Memphis. His mama heard him that night. Don't you wish you had too?
That's Bob Shannon reading from his book, Turn It Up, American Radio Tales, 1946 to 1996, updated for 2017, and now available as an ebook at Amazon for only $5.99 from Eckhart's Press, Chicago.